Let's break this down. There is a piece of technology sitting in thousands of cockpits on the field right now here at Oshkosh, and most of the pilots flying behind it could not tell you exactly what it does. Not because they aren't sharp, because it is designed to be invisible. It only shows itself in the one moment you hoped you'd never have. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct. Walk the avionics halls at EAA AirVenture, the Experimental Aircraft Association's big show at Whitman Regional Airport, and you'll see the glass panels glowing on every booth. The big screens get the attention, but the story I want to tell today is about the little electric motors hiding behind the panel and the software that decides when to move them. It's called Electronic Stability and Protection, ESP, and it changes what an autopilot actually is. Before I get into it, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. If you finish something this year, mark it, aviationsoul.com. So let's start with the honest question. What is electronic stability and protection, and why should you care? Here's the setup. For about 80 years, an autopilot was a simple bargain. You turned it on, and it flew the airplane. You turned it off, and you flew the airplane. Two states, on or off, when the little servos, the electric motors that push the flight controls, were engaged, they held your heading and altitude. When they were disengaged, they were dead weight. They did nothing. They just sat there disconnected, waiting for you to ask. ESP breaks that bargain, and here's what most people miss. With ESP running, the autopilot is never fully off. Even when you're hand flying, even when you think you have the airplane entirely to yourself, those servos are awake. They are watching. And if you push the airplane toward the edge of its safe envelope, they push back. Let me make that concrete. Say you're hand flying, you get distracted, your head's down fiddling with a chart, and the nose creeps up. Airspeed bleeds off, you're wandering toward a stall on a traditional airplane. Nothing happens until the stall warning horn blares, and if you ignore that, until the wing quits flying. With ESP active, long before that, you feel a gentle but firm pressure on the yoke, nudging the nose back down. The airplane is quietly voting against what you're doing, not taking over, just adding pressure in the correct direction. You can override it easily. It isn't fighting you, it's coaching you, through the controls with a steady hand on your shoulder. Same thing in bank. Roll past a certain angle, say 45 degrees, and the servos start feeding in gentle aileron to bring the wings back toward level. Push the nose over into an overspeed, and it pulls back. Get too slow, it lowers the nose. It's a soft fence built around the corners of the flight envelope, and the fence pushes. The data tells an interesting story about why this matters. Look at the fatal accident record in general aviation, and the single largest category, year after year, is loss of control in flight. Not engine failures, not weather. Strictly speaking, loss of control. The airplane departs controlled flight, usually through a stall or a spiral, very often with a perfectly good engine running and a current, rated pilot at the controls. Frequently, it's the classic killer. The base to final stall in the traffic pattern, low and slow and cross-controlled, with no altitude to recover. Or the spatial disorientation spiral, the graveyard spiral, when a pilot flies into cloud, or a black hole night and the inner ear lies to them, and they roll off into a diving turn they never feel starting. ESP is aimed squarely at that. It's not trying to make you a better stick. It's trying to catch the specific, well-documented ways that ordinary pilots die in otherwise flyable airplanes. Now let's talk about how it actually works, because the engineering is the part I love. The heart of the whole thing is the servo. A modern digital autopilot servo is a small brushless electric motor with a clutch and a gearbox, and critically its own little processor. In the old days, these servos were dumb muscle. The autopilot computer did the thinking and told the servo how hard to pull. The new generation is smart. The servo monitors itself, monitors the forces on the flight controls, and can be commanded in very fine, very fast increments. Feeding those servos is the attitude and heading reference system. We used to fly behind spinning mechanical gyros, heavy brass wheels turning at high speed, prone to tumbling and to slowly drifting off. Today, it's solid state. Tiny sensors etched into silicon chips, microelectromechanical systems measuring rotation and acceleration in three axes, thousands of times a second, with no moving parts to wear out. That box knows the airplane's pitch, its roll, its yaw rate, and it fuses that with air data, your airspeed and altitude from the pitot-static system and with GPS. Put all of that together and the system has a continuous, high-rate picture of exactly what the airplane is doing in space. Here's the key architectural idea. The software carries a model of the airplane's safe envelope, a map of the corners, minimum airspeed, maximum bank, maximum pitch up and down. As long as you're operating comfortably inside that map, ESP does absolutely nothing. It's silent. But as you approach a boundary, the system computes how close you are, and it commands the servos to apply a proportional force. A little pressure near the edge. More pressure the closer you get. It's not binary, it's a gradient. The wall gets firmer as you lean into it. And there's a beautiful safety detail baked in. If you fight the ESP nudge continuously, holding hard against it for a sustained period, on many systems it will conclude that you really do mean it, that this is intentional, and it will back off and let you have the airplane. Because the designers understood something important. Sometimes you need to maneuver aggressively, sometimes the pilot is right and the envelope model is being conservative. The human stays in command. That is a design philosophy, not an accident. Here's what most people miss about the lineage of this. ESP is the foundation. It's the ground floor. Once you have servos that can gently fly the airplane back towards safe on their own, without the pilot commanding it, you have the building block for everything above it. Stack the next floor and you get automatic level mode, a dedicated button, sometimes literally a blue button on the panel. And if you get disoriented, if you fly into a cloud you shouldn't have, you press it, and the airplane rolls wings level and pitches to level flight and just holds there, hands off, giving you a moment to breathe and think. That mode exists because the servos and the envelope model already existed. It's ESP with a bow on it. Stack another floor, and you get the fully automated emergency systems, underspeed protection that won't let the airplane stall, emergency descent mode that, if it senses the cabin has lost pressure and the pilot is unresponsive, will turn, descend, and level the airplane at a breathable altitude on its own. And at the very top of that stack, the full automatic landing systems that can put a passenger-flown airplane onto a runway with nobody qualified at the controls. Every one of those famous headline-grabbing features rides on this quiet foundation. Smart servos, a solid-state attitude reference, and an envelope model. That's the story under the story now. I promised you balance, and I meant it. Let's talk about the honest cons, because this technology has real ones. First, and this is the big one, automation dependency. The moment you build a soft fence around the envelope, you create the temptation to stop respecting the cliff behind it. There's a documented human factors trap here. Pilots who fly behind heavy automation can, over time, let their raw stick and rudder skills quietly erode. If the airplane always catches your stall, do you stay as sharp at recognizing the approach to a stall yourself? If you fly a lifetime behind a system that fixes your bank angle, and then one day you're in a rental without it, is the habit still there? This is not hypothetical. The professional world has wrestled with exactly this at the airline level for years, the erosion of manual flying skill behind sophisticated autoflight. ESP brings that same question down to the light airplane cockpit. The tool is only a net gain if you keep flying like it isn't there. Second con, it is not a stall prevention guarantee, and you must not treat it as one. ESP reduces the likelihood you'll wander into a loss of control. It does not repeal aerodynamics. Get slow enough, cross-controlled enough, aggressive enough, and you can still stall and spin an airplane with ESP installed. It's a safety margin, not a force field. The manufacturers are careful about this language, and you should be too. Third, con. Complexity and cost and failure modes. Every one of these smart servos, every sensor, every line of code is one more thing that can fail and one more thing you have to understand. When the system does something you don't expect, you need to know instantly how to disconnect it and fly the airplane raw. That means training, the autopilot disconnect, the electric trim interrupt, the circuit breaker. Knowing how to make the automation go away is now a core piloting skill, as fundamental as a crosswind landing. And fourth, the honest one nobody likes to say. There is a subtle transfer of authority happening here, and it deserves a clear head. When the airplane is quietly voting on your control inputs, you have to stay the one in command, not the one being managed. The good systems are designed with that in mind. The blue button level mode disengages the instant you take a firm hand. But the philosophy only works if the pilot understands the deal they've made. So here's the honest timeline and the honest status. Because this is not vaporware. This is shipping, certified, flying technology right now. electronic stability and protection has been available on certified general aviation airplanes for around a decade. It's on new production singles and twins from the major airframers, and this matters for the crowd walking the halls here at Oshkosh. A huge amount of the innovation showed up first in the experimental world. The home-built community, the folks who could install a system without waiting years for full certification, they got smart servos and envelope protection in kit airplanes early, proved it in the field, and that real-world experience fed straight back into the certified products. That is the AirVenture story in one sentence. The experimental ramp is where a lot of this got tried before it got a certificate. The show floor here isn't just a marketplace, it's the proving ground. Who's building it? The names you'd expect in the avionics business. Garmin's version is the one most pilots have flown behind, and the one that carries the ESP label. Their competitors in the digital autopilot space have their own envelope protection and stability features under their own names. And the retrofit market is where it gets interesting for the rest of us flying older airframes. Because you can now put a modern digital autopilot with these protection modes into a decades-old airplane. The magazines OOPA and the rest have been reviewing these installs for years, and the FAA's approved model lists keep growing. The airplane in your hangar that rolled off the line in 1978 may be a candidate. Let me leave you with the engineer's way of thinking about it, because I think it cuts through the hype and the fear both. This technology doesn't replace the pilot, it replaces the worst version of the pilot. The distracted one, the overloaded one, the disoriented one at 2 in the morning, who can't tell up from down. On your best day, ESP does nothing for you, because you never go near the fence. It's there for your worst day. And the mark of a good pilot flying behind it is that you fly as if it weren't installed, and you're quietly grateful on the one flight in 1,000 when it earns its keep. My thanks to the reporting from AOPA and the flight test write-ups in the aviation press, and to Garmin's own documentation for the details behind this one. There's more on the show and the rest of our tech coverage at radiohangar.com. Next time you're standing in front of a glowing panel here at Oshkosh, look past the screen and think about the little motors behind it, awake and waiting. That's the real machine. This is Vector. Fly like they're not there and be glad they are.